Thanks for tuning in to Good Vibrations with Kristen. Are you ready to be inspired?
Do you want to have a greater connection to the earth, each other, and ultimately yourself?
So then join in the conversation with me, Kristen Ace, and
me, Green Diva Meg,
and our fascinating guests to share the light, the laughter, and the illumination of good vibrations. Hey, everybody. Welcome to GVK with Kristen and
Green Diva Meg.
Yay!
And the crowd cheered.
So we have some thanks to say today before we get started to our fabulous sponsor.
Yes, Smarty Marty. Smarty Marty's Rent-A-Rec, which is located here in northern New Jersey. There are several locations.
Right.
Don't let the name fool you because... You know, the cars are beautiful. They're, you know, just like brand new. And he also has trucks for rent. So go to goodvibrationswithkristen.com. You'll see a banner at the top. And you'll go right there and click to a special page that'll... And if you're not in New Jersey, there are Rent-A-Recs everywhere.
Right. So thanks, Marty. And everybody check him out and let him know that you came from us. So today we have a really exciting guest. Her name is Noelle Izzy. She is an entrepreneur, a philanthropist, author, speaker, award-winning graphic designer, and a renowned natural journalist.
And also a spiritual pollinator.
Yes.
I love that.
Oh, I do too. It's such an amazing concept, and we are going to talk about that. She's also written a book, though, Megan. It's called The Hummingbird That Answered My Heart's Calling.
Beautiful.
Now, do you know... Well, first, let's say, Noelle, are you here?
I am. Hello, hello.
Welcome, welcome. Thank you so much for coming today.
Thank you for having me.
Yeah, we are so excited. And just the spiritual pollinator concept is so brilliant, I think. But I think before we get into
that's
that.
That's what got my attention anyway.
Yeah, I know. To me, it marries together the spirituality of life and the divinity of nature. Is that right, Noelle?
Yeah, and kind of, you know, nature does it all on its own in perfect balance.
Yes, I think so,
but it's
too.
Turning it, yeah, and it's then, this, for me being a spiritual pollinator and creating a coalition of the willing of other people to be spiritual pollinators, we take our human nature and we spread the spirituality, you know, the pollination.
Well, can you, I know what you're talking about. Actually, last night I was, before I went to sleep, I was thinking about bees and hummingbirds and butterflies. And I was thinking about how they don't have to be told, hey, you know, you got to go out and go from flower to flower to flower. You've got to help here, help there, pollinate here, and right. then, you know, and then create that beauty. They just do it out of their own knowing.
Yeah, they don't need an education.
Right, which is why they are perfectly balanced. And I loved how you said that. But I would want you to expand a little bit on your ideas of spiritual pollination, if you don't mind.
Well, just quickly what you said about the pollinators. What I learned through the experience of the book and the hummingbird was that balance is something, like you said, the pollinators don't have to be told to go out and forage, you know, 1,000 flowers a day. Mm. It's just their natural knowing. But they also don't need to know or learn or go through an learning through adversity, because they learn, they know through wisdom.
Mm-hmm.
Humans, on the other hand, have to learn or relearn what balance is. Nothing in nature takes more than it needs.
Right.
And every time it takes, it gives something back. Even the most perceived grotesque creatures that we might perceive as grotesque, the vulture, you know,
oh,
for example.
No, I love vulture. I do.
I adore them. Mm-hmm. I absolutely adore them. But the perceived notion of the vulture, the perceived notion of the bat, the perceived notion of some of these animals that are portrayed. And I know that it's not on, I know that the entertainment industry and the everything out there that teaches children and adults, you know, by and large, how to view certain things through an entertainment channel, that's great, it's fun, but we have to go back and we have to remind our children, remind the adults that the vulture isn't just that creepy cartoon character in that animated film. And the bat isn't just that creepy flying thing at night that sucks the bloods of humans and takes their, you know, their soul. That's okay for entertainment, but it's not
actually,
okay
I don't,
when you're trying to teach.
Yeah, I don't actually think it's even okay for entertainment because it perpetuates a paradigm of thought that is that isn't helpful to our society. Because in reality, bats are well, how many mosquitoes a day?
Do, like 3,000 or
right,
some crazy
a day.
Number. Yeah.
So if we didn't have bats,
we love bats.
You know, we would be mm-hmm. in. Big ass trouble with the mosquitoes.
Well, you know, I think there's just an ongoing discussion about media, about you know, educating children that it's not real. It's entertainment for the most part.
Right.
That mm-hmm. that most of these things, you know, and how to separate it. I think it's become such a, what's the word I'm looking at? It's like so ingrained. It's so
right.
integrated into everything now.
Well, I think, it's I becoming, actually think that there's more awareness than, at least where we live, there's mm-hmm. huge awareness on what the bats and vultures and, like you said, Noelle, the perceived grotesque actually really do contribute to our world.
Well, yeah. I mean, you know, who mm-hmm. wants to pick up the dead squirrel off the road?
Right.
The vulture does. Let
right.
him do it.
Right.
But you know mm-hmm. who talks about vultures in a spiritual context is Janet Connor, who we've talked
yes,
to a couple of times.
That's right. Yep, she talks a lot about the vulture being the totem to take things away. And my understanding of the vulture totem is that it's actually a bringer of new beginnings, like powerful
mm-hmm.
new beginnings.
Mm-hmm.
So
absolutely. There's a wonderful lore story about the vulture and the earth and the sun.
Mm-hmm.
And
I know that. Tell it, Noah.
Oh, my God. Every time I read that, and I do blogs where I take photographs of wildlife, I just feel, you know, they kind of show up and want their story told, just a little tidbit of their life.
Right.
And I prefaced this post of a turkey vulture with that little lore story.
Yes.
And as I was writing it, when I reread it, when I visited the blog post again, when I was changing over my website and I read it again, it just brings me to tears.
Mm-hmm.
The benevolence of just this story. And then you think about the benevolent nature of all of the creatures out there. You know, they're just nature, and animals are just so benevolent in their natural state. They come and they agree to be guests on this planet like we are. And all they do is have an open heart to be willing to give and to teach. And human beings, we've just strayed so far from being in a state of gratitude for them.
Well, and
you know?
Being in sync with divinity. Because that's, mm-hmm. for me, what I think of as nature is completely one with divinity. They don't need to mm-hmm. question, is there a power greater than myself? Is there a God? Is there a Buddha? Is there a Christ? Is there? They're just like, of course there is, because we are all part of that, and I'm just a manifestation of that.
Well, and part of what's so beautiful about animals and nature is it sort of each creature plays its part.
Mm-hmm.
And it doesn't worry about what the other creatures are doing and get all obsessed with, well, I'm
hey,
not
is that
as,
blue jay yeah. building their house the way they should be?
Yeah, right, right. Call the code. Call the town council. But, you know, so there's some, like, real grace and humility in just really knowing what you're doing
right.
and what your
mm-hmm.
part is, and playing your part and not worrying so much about everybody else's
right.
gig.
Well, and I also, right. I was thinking also
wait,
about...
Wait, what happened to the story?
Oh, yeah. Okay, Noelle, tell the vulture story first, because I'm going to go off on a different tangent now.
Sorry.
But I want to hear the vulture story. Noelle.
Oh, you mean the lore?
Yeah, tell it.
Oh, okay. Well, it's back when the Earth was being created, it was too close to the sun. So that's where, and I'm going to actually, I don't want to paraphrase too much because the story is too beautiful to do that.
Okay.
So it's just going to be one moment that I read it. It won't take longer than a minute, so I don't want to
no,
take
No, please take
time,
your time. We want everybody
beautiful...
to hear it well.
Okay, and
done
I'll probably
well.
Get choked up because I do. Okay, so...
We will, too.
In the earliest of times, the sun lived very close to the earth. Mm-hmm. So close, in fact, that life upon the earth was becoming unbearable. the animal world got together and decided to do something about it. They wanted to move the sun further away. The fox was the first to volunteer, and he grabbed the sun in his mouth and began to run to the heavens. After a short while, the sun became too hot, burning the fox's mouth, and he stopped. To this day, the inside of the fox's mouth is black. Then the opossum volunteered. He wrapped his tail around the sun and began running toward the heavens. Before long, though, the sun became too hot, burning his tail, and he had to stop. To this day, the opossum has no hair upon its tail. It was then that Vulture stepped forward. Vulture was the most beautiful and powerful of birds. Upon its head was a beautiful mantle of rich feathering that all other birds envied. Knowing that the earth would burn up unless someone moved the sun, the vulture placed its head against it and began to fly to the heavens. With powerful strokes of its wings, it pushed and pushed the sun further and further up into the heavens. Though it could feel its crown feathers burning, the vulture continued until the sun was set at a safe distance in the sky away from the earth. As a result of this courageous and benevolent act of kindness, Vulture lost its magnificent head of feathers for eternity.
Isn't
that just so beautiful? And all of the other animals that are in this story that all attempted to, for the greater good.
For the greater good.
You know, so, and there's the Indians, and, it's just a beautiful story, so.
Yeah, the Native Americans really had such a clear understanding of heaven and earth and our part in that.
The whole story is so rich with metaphor.
Right.
On so many levels.
Right.
Yeah.
I've never heard it before. I'm like, what rock have I been under?
Oh, you know. No. Well, you've now been removed. The rock has been removed.
Kristen can see my face. I'm like stunned because I'm thinking and all I, like
I've got
it.
Little, I'm making little hearts with my hands all around the microphone because I love this story. You know, thinking about, you know, the divinity in nature and how it calls to us, and the hummingbird being, in Native American lore, the bringer of joy. Mm-hmm. And I thought to myself, geez, Noelle was so blessed because you were going through this hard time. And I too have been through some hard times where a couple of times I've been told I should go on antidepressants, and I never do because something magical always happens for me. But for you, the magical thing that happened is this beautiful hummingbird that came and built a nest on your porch and laid an egg.
Ooh,
and that is where what your book is about, but also where you learn to discover the divinity with nature and ourselves in that balance. Mm-hmm. And just how beautiful that is, that to me, I feel like the divine heard you calling, Noelle, and said, Noelle needs joy. Let's send her the hummingbird.
That would feel like quite a blessing.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. It was, and changed my life forever. I mean, I always had a connection with outdoors, but this was profound. This was something that it taught me that life doesn't just revolve around me or every, you know, the genesis of the experience. I don't want to say so much the book because I had no intention of writing a book. This was just my own personal journal and then I took photos. So it was just something I was just going to keep as like, wow, this is one of the best experiences of my life. And then it turned into being something that I could share with others and helping them sort of look at nature a little differently. But during the market crash of 2008, it was really such a hard time for me. And what's interesting about that time is I wasn't literally experiencing what others were during the crash. I hadn't lost my house. I hadn't lost my job. I did start my own company, and I was afraid, fearful for what the future might bring in terms of being able to maintain my client base. But I was doing okay. It was the what ifs. It was my own freaky perceived notion that I was going to just collapse like the market. And that's what started the anxiety. It was so like just misplaced fear. And so what she taught me was get out of your own self-importance. It's okay to be a part of this physical plane where you're going
perspective,
to experience.
Right?
Exactly. Mm-hmm. That's what it was. It was eliminate the what ifs, change your perspective, and step into gratitude.
Right.
Those three things changed everything for me right. at that time.
That's funny. I had an experience with a little bluebird, very similarly.
Did you really?
The bluebird of happiness. Oh. I'd never really seen one in years. And it was in 2001 crash after everything, 9/11, and we were mm-hmm. losing our house. And, you know, it was kind of a drag. The whole thing was very difficult. Anyway, I was in my basement, like, packing things up and being really bummed out. Yeah. And this is hard. And, you know, collection calling me about, you know, taking away my car. And I'm like, this is hard. Mm. And I look out the window in my I had a beautiful basement, and anyway, with windows and a little deck right off of it, and there was a little bluebird.
Oh, my God, bluebirds aren't even in this area. Do you know that? See, that's what I think of as divine intervention. Just something is sent to you to snap you out of...
I believed it. I thought, are you here for... I actually literally stood mm-hmm. there and talked to it, and I said, are you here for me?
Yeah.
And it was like, yeah, and it came back. And, I mean, it went away and it came back right. a few times. I was like, oh, this is not an accident. This right. little guy is here to remind me. And it did shift my thinking out of that negative drag, and I'm being sucked down in fear and
what's
going to happen.
Well, the other thing that you guys probably aren't considering, which you want to put out there to my audience, is that we are empathic beings. We are created that way. And Noelle, you were talking about how things weren't really bad for you, but you started feeling these fears, and it is completely possible that you were energetically picking up on what was happening in the world right. and that it was filtering through your system.
Well, I think the media does play a role right. in that. When we're over, I stopped watching the news, you yeah. know, years ago.
Right. Right.
Reason.
But even Megan, when things were happening bad for you,
yeah.
it was happening all around you as well.
Yes,
so
yeah.
that energy feeds on itself. And then that bluebird or
right.
that hummingbird or,
yep.
I mean, for me, the dahlia, mm-hmm. the willow tree, the hawk, the crow. I've got, you know, lots of little entities coming to visit me to mm-hmm. snap you out of it and
yeah.
say, you are divine. And let me show you how you're connected to
yeah.
me and how we are vital to the earth.
Beautiful little reminders, little sparks of light that go,
mm-hmm.
wait.
Yeah,
it's not
that's
all
right.
dark.
So, Noelle, mm-hmm. you weren't thinking, oh, I'll write a book. But look at how divinity worked in your life, and you did. And your book will help hundreds of thousands of other people find their way to that understanding.
I hope so. I mean, it's also just, you know, we talked about spiritual pollination. I just before I called you. You know, another aspect of that is, okay, so I happened to be on Facebook and I was answering something from someone and I got a notification or, you know, in the newsfeed about, you know, and animals are my thing. I mean,
mm-hmm,
I love human
me too.
Beings, don't get me wrong, but there's just something about animals and nature that I, you know, I probably was a fairy in my past life.
Yeah, we were fairies
you know
together.
I mean? Yeah. So
my daughter is a fairy now, so, yeah.
Yeah, you know, so I believe that, you know, fairies exist, but okay.
So I do, too.
I
mm-hmm,
see this
me too.
Newsfeed about the dogs in Korea, in South Korea. Okay, so I'm not going to expand on it because it's really quite disturbing, but
okay.
They're
in trouble.
It's not a good. They're in horrific trouble. What happens because they actually eat them. Okay, so and you know this is part of what we all can again the coalition of the willing. You see that newsfeed, you then see all of the comments related to it, and rightly so. Animal lovers, people that have a heart will look at this and be angered by it. They'll just be beside themselves that this stuff exists.
Mm-hmm.
And so they comment with really negative, oh, those SOBs and oh, you know, and just
that doesn't help anything.
Right. No.
It doesn't help.
No. And if that's the one thing about spiritual pollination is I understand the human condition. I understand the natural pull to be angry and to post angry comments and, quote unquote, for the side of the animal. Mm-hmm. But it's not helping energetically. And
that's right.
The earth is all energy, and it's becoming more and more and more apparent. Mm-hmm. So I just stop, and I can feel the surge of sadness and mm-hmm. overwhelm and mm-hmm. anger when I read this, and I stop, and I take a couple deep breaths, and I say a prayer
right.
for the human being to heal the heart and the mind of the human being that is capable of inflicting this on
yeah.
the planet.
That's right.
And that's all. And people say there's nothing I can do about the dolphins in Taiji. There's nothing I can do about the dogs in South Korea. But there is.
But there is. That's
each
right.
Each one of our computers and our homes, there is.
We need to.
Collective.
That's right. Because sending light out, whether it's through our prayers or through our words through the day or with a book. Or
positive
with
solutions, like, you know, right. being part of a solution.
Right. I say to my kids, if you are not part of the answer, you are part of the problem, guys. You can't just sit mm-hmm. back and point fingers. You must come up with a solution. When there's a problem at our house, if you don't like something, you are welcome to talk about it. But you are not welcome to come to the table and gripe about it without a solution. It's not because mm-hmm. then you're exemplifying more problems. You just make the right. problems bigger. And that mm-hmm. is any time that we put out into our world, onto our computers, people think that they are anonymous on our computers, but that is energy.
Yeah.
Yep.
And so any time that you put that negativity, that hatred out, it just adds to the energy of the negativity and hatred in the world. It's
right.
simply,
and
it's that simple.
And it almost, you know, and I know people wouldn't intentionally do this, but it dishonors the story itself
yeah.
because
yeah.
you're just so angry. The animal has already lost its life. Don't dishonor it. Pray, or like any way you call prayer. When I say prayer, I don't necessarily mean like in a religious context. I mean, it can be or it can't be, whatever resonates with each person individually.
Correct.
But a prayer can be closing your eyes and visualize thousands of free running dogs in a field.
That's beautiful.
You know what I mean? That is a prayer. That has
that's
an
right.
energetic signature that goes out to the universe and attracts like experience. I mean, you guys know that. I know that. So
yes.
that's spiritual pollination. If we can't do physically anything, we can't get on a plane and fly to another country that is poaching elephant tusks or whatever, then mm-hmm. in your space, you can energetically change the world. I know we can do it. I know it. I feel it.
Well, it's
believe that.
I do too. It's proven on so many different levels that what we think and how we think creates the universe around us and outside of us.
Mm-hmm.
There's so many different, stories or avenues where that is a proven fact.
Right.
So one of the things that I know of is that I know people who will not go to anti-war demonstrations, but they'll go to peace rallies.
Right. Mm-hmm. I'm one of those people.
Right. So
yeah.
because
I'm,
when
I'm
you go to anti-war, mm-hmm. just like the war on drugs, never going to win it, folks.
Yeah. Yeah.
Because it's a war on something. So the war perpetuates war. It's
peace. Well, if you think about every word, even in a word written on a piece of paper, I don't know if you guys have ever studied the work of Dr. Emoto.
Oh, yeah. My God.
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay. That
so
is
every
amazing.
Word, yeah, has an energetic signature to it. The word war right there has an energy to it. You know, the same goes for like, so October is Breast Cancer Awareness Month, okay? So I'm very familiar with that disease because I've had it in my family.
Mm.
So for me and my belief in that spiritual or that energetic signature,
mm-hmm.
I would rather call October Breast Health Awareness
yeah.
Month.
Yes,
yeah.
Yeah.
I agree with you.
Disease.
Mm-hmm.
But when you say breast cancer awareness, you are bringing awareness of breast cancer to the masses.
Yeah, it's
that's
like
right.
you're energizing breast cancer.
That's exactly what you're doing. I agree with
yeah.
you. Thank you for saying that.
I want to change that. How do we do that?
We have to go to the people who do marketing.
Well, there are a couple of folks, and I can't remember right now who they are, but that I had noticed that are using breast health awareness instead of.
Oh, I love it.
Yeah,
oh,
I have
fantastic.
Seen it.
Fantastic, yeah. Well, there needs to be a major overhaul of understanding of the use of language. The,
yes.
You know that saying, sticks and stones will break my bones, but words will never hurt me? That is a lie. Words are very powerful, very powerful.
Well, we harm ourselves with them first.
Right,
you know, and that's well, and it just ripples out.
Right, that's right. Yeah. So the spiritual pollinating of being mindful of what we say to each other, what we say to ourselves, what we say in our cars, what we say on our computers, that all makes a difference on whether the universe is going to radiate love or strife.
Mm-hmm. Well, it's what you're all about, Kristen, here with the show. It's all about good vibrations.
Right.
And
mm-hmm.
every show is focused on topics and people and thoughts of how can we raise the vibration.
Right. That's right.
So I love that.
Thank you.
It fits right in.
Noelle, you fit right in.
Thank you.
We're coming up to the end of our show. So I don't know if there's anything that you want to say, Noelle, that we haven't touched on. We certainly would love to have you back because I think we could probably have 7,000 hours of conversation with you because you're so beautiful with your thoughts and your intentions and what you bring to the world. At the end of the podcast, there'll be all kinds of information for everyone to reach out to you, to find your book, to find your work. Is there anything else you want to say?
Well, first I want to say thank you. I appreciate you saying that, and it means a lot. So thank you. And, you know, other than that, just, you know, we didn't get a chance to really talk about the pollinators and colony collapse disorder with the bees. But if just for a quick moment, people, all you have to do is, if people don't really understand what's going on with the dying off of our bees, these are our major pollinators. The pesticides are now, the neonicotinoids are now being shown. This mass agriculture is contributing to the massive, massive die-off of these bees.
Yeah.
And we will lose our crops, our vegetables, our fruits, and our nuts and our grains by the pollination of these bees if we don't do something to care for them. And spiritual pollination, if we can't change big corporate that's doing stuff, then sit at your desk or on your couch one moment a day and imagine an abundance of beautiful hummingbees on this planet, and that will be your beginning of affecting change.
Or go out and plant a bee-friendly
garden,
right?
Yeah, bee-friendly
that's
yard.
The next thing. Absolutely. And there's tips and ways to do that, and you can find them everywhere. So to support our pollinators, the ones that bring us, that give so much, let's give back. And so that would just be the other thing I wanted to touch on is, you know, Google colony collapse disorder and see what you can do. You can go on my website as well. But there's
and what is
a
your
lot
website?
Of people out there. My website is benevolent, B-E-E, like the honeybee, BEE-nevolent.com.
And that that I will have that linked on my blog and everything that anybody needs to move forward with knowing what Noelle does will be available.
Yeah.
So, mm-hmm. Noelle, we have to say goodbye for now. And
Please
come back. This has been so delightful. I'm so grateful for your energy. Truly grateful. Thank you.
Thanks, Noelle.
I would love to be back. Just let me know.
Okay, great. All right. Take care now.
Bye. Thank you. You too. Have a wonderful day.
All right.
So that concludes another half hour of Good Vibrations.
Yeah. Thank you guys so much for listening. And thank you, Noelle, again for your beautiful energy. And we'll be back next week.
Bye-bye.
I love you. We hope that you found this episode of GVK inspiring. And to raise your vibration even higher, visit my website at goodvibrationswithkristen.com.
And don't forget to like Good Vibrations with Kristen on Facebook.
What inspires you?
Write us, let us know, so we can share your ideas on the show.
And meanwhile, keep listening, keep connecting, and know that you are divinely guided.